For every dollar men earn, women make 82 cents, a statistic burned into our collective consciousness. But here's what rarely makes headlines. For every 100 bachelor's degrees awarded to women, men receive only 74. This reversal isn't just surprising. It represents what may be the most profound demographic shift of our century. While we've spent decades, rightfully, dismantling barriers for women, an entire generation of boys has been quietly falling behind. The crisis isn't theoretical. It's playing out in empty college classrooms, in rising suicide rates, in communities where young men have simply stopped trying. And the most troubling part? We've barely begun to talk about it. Boys enter kindergarten trailing girls by 14 percentage points in school readiness, not from bad parenting, but biology. Male brains develop differently, with the prefrontal cortex maturing roughly 2 years later. During adolescence, boys face stronger sensation-seeking impulses paired with weaker impulse control. This mismatch cascades through education. By high school, girls dominate the top 10% by GPA, while boys cluster at the bottom. Girls graduate at 88%, boys at 82%. In Finland's system, 20% of girls score at the highest reading levels versus just 9% of boys. Girls sit roughly a year ahead in reading, while boys' former math advantage has vanished. Women now earn 57% of bachelor's degrees and 3/5 of master's degrees. Private colleges quietly practice affirmative action for males. At Vassar, male acceptance rates hit 28% versus 23% for women. Boys appear to be like orchids rather than resilient dandelions. They suffer more from adverse environments but thrive when conditions are right. The achievement gap widens dramatically in disadvantaged families. Girls from the poorest backgrounds are 57% more likely to earn college degrees than boys from similar circumstances. Education shapes destiny, and men's educational struggles have spawned a hidden economic crisis. Over 50 years, male labor force participation has dropped 7 percentage points. Before COVID-19, 9 million prime working age men had withdrawn from the workforce entirely. Among men with only high school education, 1 in 3 has given up. The hardest hit are young men aged 25 to 34. Critics blame video games, but gaming only increased 3 hours weekly between 2005-2015, hardly explaining such massive detachment. The real culprits are structural. Men cluster in production, transportation, and construction, occupations most vulnerable to automation. Today's economy increasingly rewards emotional intelligence and soft skills, where men often struggle. Here's what should shatter conventional wisdom. 40% of women now earn more than the median man, up from 13% in 1979. The pay gap is essentially a parenting gap. Among young, childless adults, earnings track identically until a first child arrives, then women's earnings crater while men's barely budge. Women's economic independence is unquestionable progress, but men have lost their traditional family role without finding a replacement. Women are now primary breadwinners in 41% of households, and 40% of births occur outside marriage, compared to 11% in 1970. Black men in America face a devastating double disadvantage, where racial and gender challenges intersect. The black-white mobility gap stems entirely from differences in men's outcomes, not women's. Black women now outpace white men in several educational metrics, but black men lag dramatically. For every black man earning a college degree, 2 black women achieve the same. Black men earn 14% less than white women and 33% less than white men. Black women are more likely to be family breadwinners than black men, a pattern unique among racial groups. The threat stereotype has deadly consequences. Black men face disproportionate targeting by the criminal justice system and severe employment discrimination. Mass incarceration has created millions of workless men and fatherless families. 1 in 4 black children sees a parent imprisoned before age 14. Research shows Black boys benefit especially from engaged fatherhood, and Black fathers are often more engaged than fathers of other races when circumstances allow. Yet half of Black women raising children do so without a partner, compared to just 16% of white mothers. 70% of births to Black women occur outside marriage, not from different values, but from structural forces making stable partnerships economically precarious. Cultural expectations clash with economic realities. Among less educated Americans, 81% believe financially supporting a family is essential to being a good husband, creating crisis when men struggle economically. Economists estimate that aversion to wives earning more explains 29% of the marriage rate decline over 30 years. The human cost is staggering. By 2020, 1 in 5 children lived with only their mother, nearly double the 1968 rate. Within 6 years of parental separation, 1/3 of children never see their father. Another third see him monthly or less. Daniel Beattie's poem Knock Knock captures this loss, a boy waiting for his imprisoned father, missing guidance on how to shave, how to dribble a ball, how to talk to a lady, how to walk like a man. This fuels a vicious cycle. Communities with the highest deaths of despair, mortality from drug overdoses, suicides, and alcohol-related illnesses are predominantly male. Men account for nearly 70% of opioid deaths and are 3 times more likely to commit suicide than women. Almost half of prime-age men out of the labor force report taking pain medication daily. Men also face a friendship recession. 15% report having no close friends, up from 3% in 1990. Without clear scripts for masculinity, many improvise what researchers call a haphazard self, oscillating between priorities and struggling to stay on track. Many social programs designed to help disadvantaged populations work well for girls but fail boys. The Kalamazoo Promise, offering free college tuition, increased female college completion by 45% but had zero effect on men. This pattern repeats across preschool programs, mentoring initiatives, and scholarships. The solution requires rethinking school start dates to career paths. Delaying kindergarten entry by 1 year, redshirting, could dramatically close gender gaps. Research shows redshirted boys experience major reductions in hyperactivity and inattention, higher test scores, and greater life satisfaction, benefiting boys at least twice as much as girls through 8th grade. We need massive investment in male-friendly vocational education. Career and technical education credits dropped 17% between 1992 to 2013. Career academies boosted earnings for Hispanic and Black males by 17%. Connecticut's technical schools increased male graduation rates by 10 percentage points and wages by 33 to 35%. Most critically, we need men in HEAL occupations, health, education, administration, and literacy. While billions fund women in STEM, men into HEAL barely exists. We should set a 30 by 30 goal, 30% male representation in HEAL by 2030, requiring 3 million more men and $1 billion investment. For families, fathers and mothers each receive 6 months of non-transferable paid leave at 100% wage replacement, dedicated, equal benefits, redefining male roles from providers to caregivers. The crisis of boys and men isn't about rolling back women's progress. It's about extending equality to include men's lives, too. We've dismantled barriers preventing women from becoming engineers and CEOs, but haven't built pathways for men to become nurses, teachers, and caregivers without losing their masculine identity. Parents across the political spectrum worry more about their sons' future than their daughters', particularly liberal parents who champion equality yet watch their sons struggle. This isn't hypocrisy, it's recognition of reality. The path forward requires acknowledging uncomfortable truths. Biology matters, but doesn't determine destiny. Male brains develop differently, and testosterone creates real behavioral tendencies, but environment shapes how these predispositions express themselves. Marriage acts as a testosterone suppression system, and father involvement changes male biology. We need positive masculinity for a post-feminist world, not toxic masculinity that harms everyone, not traditional masculinity requiring women's subordination, but new masculinity embracing caregiving, emotional intelligence, and purpose beyond paychecks. We've created a generation of boys without roadmaps. They're not our enemies. They're our sons, brothers, and partners. Equality isn't zero sum. When boys and men thrive, everyone benefits.